rendition that Banjoin was from Art Todd from his cassette tape, I Love a Banjo. And this is War, White Aryan Resistance Radio, White Aryan Resistance Radio, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Our big website is at resist.com. Yes, resist.com. And our new email is warmetzger@aol.com. We had that email address a long time ago. We went over to SBC DSL and was there for about a year or so, but we began to have problems with that DSL stuff. So we fell back on the old AOL address. Yes, we did. Now, if you subscribe to the War newspaper, it's $30 a year, and you should, and it's $40 in Canada, that's Canada, and $50 in all other countries, and that's U.S. funds. And if you order things from other nations offshore, Europe, Asia, Australia, Africa, all over the place, you add 25% of the order for first-class mail. We don't use service mail because service mail is almost as expensive as air mail, and it takes a month or two to get to you. Yeah. Now, if you like that banjo music, and we'll play some more at the end of the show, maybe some in the middle, you're going to like the new show. Yeah, that's going to be just Terrible Tommy doing his old-time country show. We've got our first show nearly done, and then we're going to try to put them out every couple of weeks, and that's going to be Terrible Tommy's old-time country. Tommy likes country music. And if you do karaoke, anything like that, send them to me. I'll play them on the old radio station here, but none of that New York Jew country music. We're going to play the old stuff, so stand by for that, too. Yeah. Now it's the first part of April here, yeah, and I didn't get April fooled yet. I April fooled my girlfriend, though. She went out to get in her car, and I had one of those big plastic bugs you see at a novelty store. I put that big old plastic bug on her steering wheel, and she almost freaked out. I had to eat out for 3 days. Dr. Calden Bird should be in here pretty soon, and we're going to get this show on the road. We have not done a show for a few weeks. Multiple problems and so forth that we had to overcome, and of course it all coincided with the putting together of the newspaper and all that stuff. Incidentally, if you don't get your newspaper by, say, the second week of the month, now we always send that paper out all very close to the first, sometimes even a couple, 3 days before the first, so if you don't get that paper by the second week in the month, you let us know, because we have had a little problem with the post office on our bulk mail. And if you don't get it, and your dues are paid up, old Uncle Tommy here will send you out of paper, first class, baby. You're not going to get ripped off here. Yeah, old Dr. Collenberg's on his way in here, and I'm telling you, we got a lot to talk about today. Man, the world is in an uproar. It's an uproar. It's a... like the guy with the long beard carrying a sign around on the street of New York, prepare to meet thy maker, the end is near. No, I don't think the end is near. The beginning is near. I see anarchy coming. And, you know, anarchy is a transition towards change. And I think we need a lot of change. And so I think we're going to be moving more towards anarchy pretty soon. And I think those old Arabs are going to teach us how. Don't forget to order a lot of our videotapes, audio tapes, and everything. Right now, we got a big project going. We're remastering all our Race and Reason shows from 3/4 inch to not only a new half inch tape, but also we're going to put them on DVD. So, I mean, considering that we've produced at least 2 shows a month since 1983 up until the into the 90s, you can imagine what a job that is. So we're going to, and once we get that stuff on DVD, it'll last forever. So it'll be a historical thing for all the boys and girls. So anyhow, that's our big project now. And also, when you after a while, you'll be ordering these Race and Reason tapes, and there will be directly mastered from 3/4 inch tape. And the video is going to be a lot better because there for a while we had a lot of them on the master was on a tape, but it was at a slow speed, and so it wasn't quite as good a quality. We've got all those old fighters from the old days, you know, Bob Miles is on there, and old Richard Cotton's on there, and Ben Klassen's on there, and just a whole bunch of the old fellows who are not around anymore. You can't get anything by them. And I've discovered something I didn't know existed, and that's about a two-hour videotape interview with Bob Miles of the Mountain Churches. And, you know, he was a great guy, and he hasn't been around for a while, and we don't have it yet, but when we get it, we're going to master that and make it available to you. And also, we're adding a lot of books, old books, that have not been able to get. They're hard to find. You got to dig to get these old books, and then to pass them along to you. And usually, no more than a $20, $25 deal, and on a book that's hard to find, man. So order them now. Well, Dr. Kahlenberg is in the studio. How you doing, Dr. Kahlenberg?
Oh, pretty good. I was listening. I heard you found that Miles tape.
Yeah. Somebody, Dennis Mahon found it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and he's going to send it up to me, and we're going to get that out.
So. That's a good one. Is that the one that was made in the park, or is that the studio one?
I have no idea where it was made.
Because I know there was one made in the park, and then there was one made in the studio.
What park?
I thought it was, wasn't it the park out here, the Fallbrook Park?
No, Bob Miles was never out here.
Yeah, he did the show.
Well, he did the show, but that was up in Orange County.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I thought he came down here.
Well, he might have been here, but we didn't do any.
Well, I'm probably thinking of Zundel. Zundel.
Yeah. So, no, this is about a two-hour tape. It's supposedly really good. I've never seen it. At least I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, if it's the Race and Reason one, I mean, that was a good one. I remember that.
Yeah, we've got that.
Actually, I think I even filmed that.
But that's only a half hour.
No, we did. Didn't we do two?
I don't think with Bob Miles, but maybe
there's a couple people we did.
Well, we did a lot of people from 1983.
Well, I mean, a couple of them that came far away. We did a whole bunch of. You know,
yeah, well, there was
McCollum. There was two.
Well, we did two with him.
Mason,
Mahon.
Mason, I think it was
Mason,
three.
And not too many.
Yeah.
We didn't do too many like that. So what's been happening? We haven't done a show for about 3-4 weeks.
I know.
Well, our people out there, our listeners, are scrambling and crabbing and saying, when are you going to get another show?
That I know. Yeah. I got an email from people that said our show is about the only reason they don't commit suicide because everything's so crappy, but our show is so wonderful.
Well, I got
a smile on their face.
I got mail from guys that said our show was making them commit suicide.
Well, those are just the Jews.
The ADL said that. Yeah, the ADL said that. All right, so what's in a new? Oh man, it's really getting hot out.
Oh, you know, I bought this computer magazine. You know, like they had the 100 greatest lost sites, and I was looking through it. And you know what? They had it under lifestyles. They had the Southern Poverty Law Center is one of the great lost sites, and they're under lifestyles.
Lost sites?
Yeah, they said it's sites that nobody goes to.
Oh,
I thought that was funny because, you know, it's supposed to be all these sites and it's supposed to be so wonderful, but nobody gives a shit about. And Morse D's was one of them that nobody gives a shit about.
Well, his books, you know, they come out with a book.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And 3 weeks later, it's in the $2 bin grocery store.
Yeah.
Nobody reads that shit. Nobody cares about
Morris,
a poor boy.
Yeah.
I bet he hasn't had a blow job in quite a while. Well, I don't know.
He's got a lot of young boys around there.
Oh, that's true. Is he still married? I guess he...
I don't know. Whoa. Not my time to keep track.
Hey, did you see The Shield last night?
No, I didn't.
You know, that's the roughest, rawest cops and robbers show there is, and it's really white guys.
Uh-huh.
The crew.
Yeah.
And the bald guy, the skinhead.
Yeah.
They're all white boys.
Yeah.
And they're pulling all kinds of shit all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I've only seen the one episode of that. What's that?
There's this, I forget his name, that shaved head guy.
He played Curly and the Three Stooges, I remember
no,
that.
No!
Yeah, he did. He almost certainly did.
Oh.
When they did a remake of the Three Stooges, he was Curly.
Now you're ruining my whole image.
No, he was Curly. Curly's like a god.
So these guys are like a group within the police department.
Yeah.
They run things their way.
Cops.
They're rogue cops.
Yeah.
And they even get stolen money and all this kind
of
stuff. Well, last night really hit the peak.
What happened?
Well, they got a Mexican head of the department,
mm-hmm.
the chief of detectives
or
whatever
mm-hmm.
you call him. Well, these two these two white drug dealers got him in a house and they forced him to give him a blowjob.
Oh, the cop?
Yeah, and it's all on TV. And they had a gun to his head and a 9mm, and the other one was taking a picture. He said, get that picture on his telephone, the whole bit. That was really raw. I mean, it was really...
Well, if he's a Mexican, he's probably a Catholic. Did he say a prayer? Thank you, Lord, for this meal I'm about to receive.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, he was a puking and a hunking and all that kind of stuff, and now he's traumatized really
bad.
Really bad. So I think the rogue cops will be able to, when they find out about this, use it on blackmail him so they can get away with their
little
stuff.
Little burrito muncher.
They don't put up with shit from nobody.
Yeah.
They go into these nigger gangs and stuff and kick the shit out of them and the Mexican gangs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, last night there was a deal on there where they broke down a door to this Mexican gang guy, and he was in there giving oral sex to his girlfriend. Right on television.
I'm going to watch it.
It's getting wild.
It's non-watch.
It's getting wilder than hell.
You know the great new show on HBO is Deadwood. That's the best Western I've seen in a long time. It's about how the Wild West is really wild. It's completely barbarians. And it's full of, you know, like you read about the West and all these people are supposed to be swearing and Calamity Jane swearing, but like on old-time Westerns, they'd have Calamity Jane say Dosh Garn and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's always yelling cocksucker and motherfucker and all kinds
of
stuff.
Do they do that on this show?
Oh, yeah. And,
oh,
and
Howard Stern must direct it.
I know. And on one of the main merchants there is this Jew guy. You know, he's a typical Jew. They always call him Jew. Well, a couple episodes, they call him Jew Boy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the chinks, like when they hang somebody, they take the body and they feed the body to the chinks. They have pigs, and so they can't afford a funeral, so the chink pigs eat the
dead
people.
Well, that's just like old Sheriff Block and the boys up in L.A.
Yeah.
You know, they used to have that pig farm.
Yeah.
That's the way. That was a common way for the mob and people and and bad cops and stuff to get rid of bodies.
Well, this way, it's just like if you didn't have enough money to pay the undertaker. Well, the undertaker was a Jew, too.
Yeah.
So if you didn't have much money to pay the Jew undertaker, you took it to the Chinese and you sold it to them for pig food.
Well, what the hell? You're dead. What do you care? I can't understand these kind of people that are all like these guys, mercenaries over there in Iraq.
Yeah.
Those four guys, they drug out of the car
and,
you know, hung them and cut them up and all that. Well, you know, it turned out they weren't just contractors.
Yeah.
They're mercenaries. Yeah. Well, what the hell? Then they go on and on about almost going to war over this.
A lot of mercenaries.
Once you're dead, you're dead.
Oh, you know.
What makes the
difference?
Before
that, remember the Christian Christian missionaries that got killed?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, a relative of mine was a close personal friend to one of the girls that got the 26-year-old Jesus free.
Oh, boy. Oh,
that was kind of funny.
Which one? There have been several.
Well, it was a couple weeks ago. I vaguely heard about it, but I guess they caught a whole bunch of, they're Baptists. They caught a bunch
of
Baptists.
That's a different one. I'm talking about that one maybe it was down in the Southeast Asian islands or something that these guys kidnapped them and they kept them for about a year.
Those were different.
And then they got them.
These got killed. They were Baptist missionaries in Iraq. They got captured and they got killed.
Do you think we get a very high rating among the Christians with this show?
I hope not.
You scared them off, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, watching this kind of TV stuff. Seen any movies lately?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I saw a good one. It was called The Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Uh-huh.
You know, they get that title from an Alexander Poe a poem, which basically says, you know, what a wonderful world it would be if we could fit and we could live in the sunshine of our spotless minds. So it's about this.
It's a weird title.
Yeah, well, it's basically about it's a kind of a romantic comedy where these two people, Jim Carrey and that girl, Kate Winslet, that was on Titanic, you know, they fall in love, and then all of a sudden, they hate each other and they break up, and then they go to it's like a science fiction. They go to this doctor who erases their memories, and they're like Jim Carrey's inside of his head, and he sees all his memories disappearing. He goes, "Well, I want to keep that one." It's kind of interesting because, you know, like he realizes that not all his memories of his ex girlfriends were bad memories. You know,
so
it's kind of neat because, you know, basically it's about relationships and how, you know, even the fucked up ones aren't all that fucked up. And
well, you know, relationships are hard.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, look, did you see that Passion yet?
No.
I was
watching these Jews.
But I'll tell you, did you hear, there was a famous line in that movie.
What?
When Jesus hanging on the cross, And
Mary, I can see my house from here?
No. The Roman soldier said, can you cross your feet? I've only got 3 nails. Anyhow, what else?
Oh, I was...
I got to go see that because old that comedian, George Harlan?
Carlin.
He said he went to see it because it was so violent.
Oh, well, I was watching, you know, there's this a channel that just has people talking about the books they wrote, and there was a bunch of Jews. There were a Jewish ladies' club. And they were having these, she wrote this book on the current affair of anti-Semitism. And she got some question about the Passion of Christ. And she said that it was homosexual erotica because you've got all these guys in leather, you got, they're beating this Jesus until his flesh comes off and stuff. And so they were basically applying that you've got Jesus freaks in the studio pulling a Pee Wee Herman to Jesus getting beaten, crucified. And they were saying that Mel Gibson was just into homosexual erotica. That's why he made The Passion of Christ.
Oh, boy. Well, you know.
So if you go to The Passion of Christ and some Jesus freaks behind you throwing mayonnaise, look out, it's probably not mayonnaise. You know?
Pee Wee's in big trouble. You saw that in the news?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they're going to let him in to see the Passion.
He's saying, I just don't want anybody to think I'm a pedophile.
Yeah.
But the prosecutor's saying, well, the pictures really tend to make him look like a pedophile.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think what he's saying is he looks at the pictures, but he don't get into the act.
Well, what he was saying is, from what I understand, and you know, even though he's a weaselly little Jew, he may be telling the truth, that he likes to collect weird stuff. And he has over 36,000 objects that he collects, and it's all bizarre stuff, like circus freaks pictures. And he just he collects weird stuff, and he collects erotica.
Yeah.
And this was, he had a huge collection of erotica, and they had some of them that were of young. He said that they were in the, he thought they were in their 20s, but the you know they're pictures, and you couldn't prove how old it is.
Oh, come on!
He said on TV he thought he had no idea what it was, but it was just like that was a part of this huge collection of bizarre stuff that they went after.
Oh,
so you know it may just be that he's a wacky. You know, he's not like Mike. You know, Michael Jackson's a big different case.
Yeah,
that it's a big different thing than actually sleeping over with boys and you know collecting bizarre shit.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's a little weird. That boy.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, if you
there are a lot of Jews like that.
Oh yeah.
Lots of Jews into that.
Oh, I saw Godfrey Cambridge did a show.
Godfrey
he's a lot like Pee Wee. He's like a little weaselly, funny voice and kind
Wait
of bizarre.
Minute.
No. What's the one that's on the Howard Stern show?
You mean Gilbert Godfrey?
Gilbert Godfrey, yeah.
Yeah,
he's kind of weaselly like Pee Wee Herman. He's funny, but...
He's more funny than
Pee Wee Herman. Yeah, he's more funny, but he's bizarre like that.
Yeah, I like the way he slams the Jews all
over. Oh, yeah.
He makes a good Nazi.
Yeah.
At least on his voice, yeah. Okay. Now, Dr. Kahlenberg seems to be prepared to lose us the few Christians we got who did into this radio show.
You
going to tell a joke about Jesus.
You know, all this Christian stuff's going around, and there's this one teenage boy that was thinking about committing suicide. He's praying to Jesus. He goes, Jesus, you know, I'm just a geek. You know, nobody will accept me or anything. People don't like me. I'm just going to kill myself. Please come and save me. And so he was praying to the sky, and all of a sudden Jesus came up, started talking to the boy, and he goes, you know, Jesus says, people used to consider me to be a real nerd and stuff, and it used to bother me that people didn't like me. Then after a while, I just got thinking, you know, if people don't accept me, they can just fucking go to hell.
Ah, hey, I didn't hear that. That's a funny one. You know, I heard, too, there was some big, some well-known neo-Nazi over in Sweden or someplace.
Oh.
He went to see the movie The Passion.
Oh.
And he said he's going to quit being a racist, mm-hmm. and he found the Lord and everything. They had it was big news over there. Yeah, that's what I call commitment.
Oh, yeah.
He was really committed.
Yeah, I saw a dead Jew on a stick, and there he was.
Yeah, that's the power of the movies.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I got all kinds of clippings here. What's going on? Huh? Oh, that Cesar Chavez, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're honoring Cesar Chavez. They're naming streets after this bastard a little bit. And I've said it over and over. Cesar Chavez was a bum.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew him. Right from the beginning, he used to hang around the pool hall up in Delano. He didn't work hardly at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul Alinsky, that Jew from Chicago, a communist Jew, mm-hmm. admittedly a communist Jew, came out here, got Cesar Chavez as a young man, took him back to Chicago, and trained him in all the fine arts of agitation, sent him back out to California, and set him up.
Yeah.
That's the story of Cesar Chavez. And, you know, this guy was a creep.
Yeah.
And we fought him all the way. We fought him as much as we could. But, you know, all the newspapers used to say he was a rat. Today, now he's a great hero and a great martyr. And
well,
all
you know, the main reason I went to Job Corps, I was going to learn a trade to become a printer, to run a printing press. And then after that, I was going to, you know, King, California, that's where La Paz is, the head of United Farm Workers Union headquarters. It used to be a tuberculosis thing. I was going to go to there to work because a lot of what they do is they get a lot of these, mainly Jews, a lot of them from New York, these leftist college kids, right, in the summer or like between college and stuff, they used to go there to work for free. And they used to work for United Farm Workers Union for free. So basically, here's this union, they're making all this money, and they got these dumb Jews working for free. So you'll see the Chavez can make, you know, six-figure numbers, you know.
Man.
So pretty good racket going.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? This week was the birthday for J.B. Stoner.
Whoa.
J.B. Stoner, the father of the National States Rights Party.
Yeah.
And he was 80 years old.
80?
Yeah, 80 years old, and old J.B. is still kicking. I guess he's not too good. I think he's had a stroke, one or maybe two.
Yeah, I heard he's in like a rest home.
He's in a rest home, and I used to have the address around here. I'll try to get it again. But so J.B. Stoner has made it to 80 years old. He was a real flamboyant character, you know.
Yeah.
He wore a red jacket, sport coat, and he wore a Confederate flag vest underneath it.
Yeah, and that little Confederate bow tie.
Yeah, the Confederate bow tie.
Well, I like it. He told me, I was talking to him, I guess he's up in Orange County giving a speech, and I was talking to him, and he said that, like, during World War II, when the American planes used to fly over on the east coast of the beach, I guess there was an Air Force base there, he used to take gasoline and make a swastika and light it so they could see the swastika on American soil before they could go over there and fight World War II. So.
How about that?
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, he pretty well said it the way it was. He would never stop or flinch from saying nigger.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
No matter where he was. He could be in New York City. The whole thing is always the niggas.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he goes back there, too, with, trying to think of the name, the two brothers that went from Bakersfield down there to Florida and got that big riot going on in St. Augustine. Damn, I can't remember the names right now, but he went to prison for about 4 years.
Yeah.
And him and JB were good friends, and like I say, had a brother, good old rednecks from Bakersfield.
Yeah.
And that St. Augustine riot was one hell of a riot.
Yeah. Yeah.
The rednecks went right down to the beach and went out and dragged those niggers out of the water and drug them right off and beat the hell out of them, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, got them. Because they're going to integrate the beach.
Yeah.
And the white boy said, "No way." Yeah, you can imagine that today.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah, now I remember the name was Connie Lynch. And his
he was from Bakersfield.
Yeah, that's where they started out up that. Maybe Lancaster, but up in that way someplace.
Yeah.
And like I was saying, I ran into a guy that was into construction, and he knew him back in those days. He wasn't involved with the, you know, the racist stuff and the Klan or anything, but he said one day he was on the work site, and old Connie said, "Come around here," and he opened up the trunk, he had a full-blown machine gun in the trunk. And, you know, that's where they buried all those weapons up in the high desert up there, and I think Connie was probably in on that, too.
The Minuteman.
They're still digging up weapons.
The Minuteman in the 60s, I think somebody said they buried a whole tank and stuff there.
Machine guns. They did some wild things.
Yeah.
I knew they were running make-believe attacks on police stations and everything in L.A.
Yeah.
And one time, Robert Depew flew into some undisclosed little airstrip up here, and they used flashlights to line the runway to get them down. And it was, I guess, 200 or 300 Minutemen there.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly they were hiding a lot of weapons in these underwater caves along the coast, where you could only get to the cave by going underwater.
Yeah.
And they were supposedly hiding a lot of stuff in there. Somebody, a scuba diver, is going to get a big surprise someday. He goes into one of those caves.
Well, I always heard that they buried a whole bunch of them out in the Mojave Desert, and they use like Etruscan maps, you know, a star map. You look at the star, and you know, like the sky's always changing, so you pick a date, like you say, April 20th, 1969.
Yeah.
And you look at the stars, and you write it down, whatever, and then you take this, you make a map of the stars, and you put it on top of a topographical map, and whatever matches, like something looks like the Big Dipper, solar, you know, whatever you say, well, I'll put it right here by the Big Dipper.
Yeah.
And it'll be like hills and stuff. So it's,
well, they found a whole bunch of that stuff because the rain would wash away, and they had found hand grenades all over the place. And I know a lot of the Minutemen moved up. The trouble with the Minutemen, they weren't racial.
Yeah.
Well, many may have been.
Some were,
but Depew wasn't. Because I met Depew in 70...
anti-communists.
Around 70.
With those Russians.
Well, he had a big meeting back in Norborn, Missouri, a leadership meeting, he called. Everybody come from all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were, you know, the Shelton was there, the UKA, and right-wingers. Every kind of person showed up. And I had a private conversation with Depew, and he didn't want to talk about race.
Yeah.
Well, they're anti-communist.
They're like the Minutemen, you know, not the Minutemen, the militia now. You know, they don't want to talk about race. They want to talk about the UN.
Yeah.
And the Minutemen
want
to talk about the Russians.
Right.
The Russians is coming.
That's right. So anyhow, that was an interesting meeting because 200 or 300 people took over that little town in Norborn, which was a sort of a dying little town on the railroad, Santa Fe Railroad.
Yeah.
And here's all these guys in suits walking around with briefcases and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, I hadn't been in the movement too long, and I think I was working with Warner, one of them, back then. But anyhow, we're in this meeting, and the guy sitting behind me, they said, you know, Ed Fields came, you know. And Ed Fields only stayed a little bit and took off out the back door. And the guys, old guys started laughing. They were sitting behind me. I said, what are you laughing about? He said, oh, Fields is headed for Kansas City to get some pussy. Because Fields used to play around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the old right wing knew him very well.
I have more respect for him than if he was a chowder hound.
Yeah. Dr. Colin Bird, Dr. Ed Fields was married at the time. You shouldn't talk like that.
Oh, well, you didn't tell me that.
He was being a very immoral person, according to the statutes of the right wing.
Oh.
But anyhow, that's the story.
Uh-huh.
It goes back a long, gee, my God, that's over. That's 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
They're almost over 30 years.
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone last night. We were talking about the movement. Like, you know, when we first got in the movement, like in the late 70s and stuff, that the movement was basically a lot of Jesus freaks and old ladies and stuff. And, like, we would talk stuff, you know, me and my friend, and people always think we're a bunch of communists or the demons or something. And now, basically, the whole movement basically thinks like us. You know, very few people in the movement are Christians and stuff. And most of them want to overthrow the government. And
all those old right Christians are dying off.
Oh, I used to go to like a duck suit meeting, and there'd be some dumb shit with a tri-corner hat and a flintlock gun, you know, like a 1776. And I love America!
I knew that guy just like that. Lyons was his name.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, he lived up there in Michigan. He always came to Bob Miles meetings.
Uh-huh.
And he'd wear one of those. They did all kinds of stunts like that. You remember the one guy used to be with the militia up in L.A.? I forget his name now, but he'd go into a bar and start giving a big priest job on, you know, the government and all that stuff. And he stood up one time on a table in the bar and said, give me liberty or give me death. And a guy shot him. He shot him. He didn't kill him, but he shot him. He almost died. I mean, so that was don't go into a bar and say, give me liberty or give me death.
Well, I know. I actually went to a duck suit meeting where people, when they started, waving the American flag and some guy started crying about how much he loved America, and everybody started sitting up and applauding because the guy was crying because he loves America.
If
the Jews could only see how white races were just such patriotic Americans, we love Jesus and America, please love us, and wave that flag some more, and come out in your coonskin hat. It's some bizarre shit.
Boy, if you weren't Christian back then.
Oh, God. I remember, in the 70s, I've been a pagan ever since I've been in the movement, and I used to say stuff about Jesus and stuff, and I think sometimes I almost got lynched. I remember that time Pageant almost got in the fight when he talked about Jesus being the dead faggot on the cross.
Well, he almost got in a fight with Frank
Sullivan. Oh, yeah.
Frank's
a pagan now, but back then he was identity.
Shame,
he was identity.
Well,
and
he was heavy Christian back then.
Well, we went to a Hitler's birthday party, and we almost got in a fight with the Nazis' party because they were maybe not Christian Nazis and stuff, and we were just going on about Jesus being a kike and a queer and stuff like that, and they were just getting furious.
You know, back then, too, what was amazing was how they feared JDL.
Oh, yeah.
They were deathly afraid of the JDL. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, the JDL's going to come, or the JDL's going to get us. And they used to have these big meetings. There'd be 100 people. Well, they JDL did get one. I wasn't at that meeting.
Yeah.
They did invade the meeting, and all these old people are trying to fight them off. And I know this one old gal poured a hot coffee pot on Ruben, and he went out.
Which is like, never.
But, you know, but after we beat the hell out of him at the train station in L.A., nobody ever gave us any credit for that that I know of. You know, none of the right wing, because they were always so cowardly about the JDL.
Yeah.
Well, the Nazis beat the hell out of them. You know, the Nazis beat them up two or three times.
Well,
and
you know,
we
like,
beat them up.
We remember we had the Nation of Islam invited us over in Inglewood to the Inglewood Forum. Well, Torch and me and a couple of guys were watching the cars while you guys were inside. And Irv Rubin and about 12 JDL guys were outside. And they waited until all the niggers went outside, and then they invited the TV camera crew, and then they started chanting Farrakhan's a nigger, Farrakhan's a nigger. So Torch, one of the guys who was with us, he saw him, and he goes, oh, it's a JDL over there. And he started walking to him and started yelling, hey, Kike, you want to fight? Why don't you guys fight? And so I said, uh-oh, I better back up Torch because he's going to be by me. You know, because I know he could take on Irv Rubin and all these guys by himself. Just as one of them get behind him. So I was basically covering his back because I knew that he could take point. And Irv Rubin just looked at him like he was crazy and kept going under the camera and yelling at the camera and stuff. Didn't even address Torch at all.
Well, one thing you got to remember, Irv Rubin had bad eyesight.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, he was yelling loud. He was yelling Kike real loud, so he had to be deaf.
But he was way over on another corner, wasn't he?
It was across the street.
Yeah.
It was across the street. So
you know, there's
he's deaf.
The New Christian Crusade Church,
uh-huh.
back in about 72, I think it was, had a big West Coast meeting up at a hotel in North Hollywood, and or Glendale or someplace around there, and the JDL came down, and you never met Winchester, did you?
Chip, yeah.
And Winchester, he was a wild man, you know, and Reuben was afraid of him, you know, but so he went after Reuben. Reuben took off. Well, then, I'm trying to remember my old friend who was in the identity movement, Rick Norton.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and I worked with him for a long time. Well, Rick and I are standing out there by the street, and Reuben sort of comes up close, and Norton had bad eyesight.
Yeah.
He had bad eyesight. He didn't see who it was, that it was Reuben, and he goes up, and he's like, what? What? Reuben took off running and almost got run over by a truck.
There's one time we were in the L.A. courtroom, and I was standing in the hall, and Irv Rubin was there, and he didn't, I guess he's blind, doesn't know who I am.
Yeah.
I guess this is when you were on trial.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he starts screaming and running down the hall, the Nazis are coming, the Nazis are coming.
Well, that was Carl.
Yeah, no, you fucked up my story.
Oh.
And he was yelling, the Nazis are coming, the Nazis are coming. And he was pointing at the elevator and stuff like that, and all these people started looking at the elevator. And the elevator door opened up, and here comes Carl by himself, walks out the elevator. Everybody's looking at Ruben, what the fuck is this crazy guy? He's terrified of this one guy.
Well, you know, everybody was terrified of Carl.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Morris Diaz wouldn't even get out of his car.
I mean, but he had a couple guys, and he was just screaming about the Nazis are attacking and stuff.
Well, the exact thing that happened there was that Carl comes down the elevator, and a door's open, and Ruben's standing there to go up.
Yeah.
And Carl reaches out, he's a big, tall guy, reaches out to grab Ruben, and that's when Ruben took off down to the
thing. Yeah, screaming.
The Nazis are here, the Nazis are here.
Yeah.
Everybody looked at him like you say, like he was a maniac.
Yeah, well,
he was.
I was down at the end of the hall, I just saw Ruben running and yelling.
Right, well, he was definitely Carl. You know, Carl was a mean motor scooter.
Yeah.
And, well, we found that out also at the... At the,
train
on the TV show and the train station because he almost killed that guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we put a lot of them down on the ground, but the one guy that Carl worked on went to the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the hospital quite a while. Yeah. And because Carl ran over, he was beating him with his fists, and Carl ran over to the concession stand and picked up one of these big, heavy ashtrays that sit on the floor, and he goes back out and starts. He's going to swing. And the gal says, you can't take that. He said, shut up, Roy. Hit you with it. He goes back out there and just beats a holy crap out of this red-headed Jew.
Yeah.
And he was in bad shape for a long time. I thought, well, he was laying on the floor there just twitching.
Yeah.
I thought the guy was dying, you know. But anyhow, and nobody went to jail. Yeah. How about that?
Well, mutual combat a lot of times. Yeah. That's
And I think the cops sort of said, well, you had it coming.
Yeah.
Followed them down here. You attack them. You get your ass beat. You're on your own.
Yeah, that's why nobody went to jail when the Geraldo show, because they called the New York City police and stuff, and they were questioning us for about 15 minutes, and finally they said, oh, this is just a fucking mess. Get out of here.
Yeah, they don't want to do the paperwork. Love a Banjo, a collection by Art Todd, T-O-D-D. I don't know for sure where you'd pick that up, but it's out of our big, big library of old-time country. And if you've got old-time country out there, really old stuff, and you want to send us along some music or some of your karaoke or what you got, well, or your band, you got a country western band, send it to us. We'll put it on the air because this is a sample of Terrible Tommy's Country Show. It's going to be another hour show that we're going to put up on the website. So we're going to have lots of fun here with this new show. What do you think about that old-time music?
That's good stuff. You know, my radio went out in my car, and I'm thinking of either getting rid of my car now because of that, or I may get that satellite radio so I can get vintage country, you know, old hillbilly music, and screaming loud speed metal. My two favorite types of music.
Yeah, you know, one thing I like about the satellites, they've got all this different music on there. Runs 24 hours a day, no advertising.
Yeah, I listen to that at home, but like in car, you can have a satellite radio where they've got, I don't know, a couple hundred stations, and they've got everything from really hardcore metal to opera to old-time country. I hate modern country. Modern country really sucks.
Yeah.
I really like the old-time hillbilly stuff.
Well, anyhow, I don't spend that much time in a car like you.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't do me much good.
Yeah.
And somebody would probably steal it anyhow. Of course, with my with my wetback hating dog in there, they're not stealing anything.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Right.
Well, just like that one time in my Cadillac, is I didn't have a stereo because somebody already stole, you know, I live in Mexico, and some Mexican already stole my stereo. So I had the door unlocked because I figured if they wanted to go in there and check and see if I had a stereo, they might as well just leave the door unlocked. So one day I went out there, and all my windshield was broken, and my back seat was all cut up and tore up because somebody thought I had a stereo. It was looking at this, where the hell is this guy's stereo? So they cut the back, unless they were looking, maybe the owner of it hid something in the thing, but they were looking for something. They were just ripped all the back seat up. And
I really remember that. Really
pissed me off, because then after that I left a note on there, something like, you stupid fucking Mexican, the door is unlocked. Do not break my fucking windows.
I bet you wrote it in English, though.
Yeah, that's a problem, yeah.
Yeah, they don't understand that.
I was pretty pissed at that.
Did your radio quit?
Yeah, it just died on me.
Does it do anything?
It has, the light goes on, but it's all gibbery. Well, you know what I did?
I got the tools for those forks.
Well, I
pull it out of there.
Well, you know what I did is I was cleaning it like a dumb shit. And I sprayed it, and I think I got some cleaner in there.
You didn't spray oil in there, did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man.
Well, it was all right, because the tape player didn't work, so fuck it.
No. You can get it going again. You just got to spray it with degreaser and get it out of there. But does the radio work otherwise?
Nope.
Nothing works?
Nope.
What the hell do you spray in there? Battery acid?
No, I think it was Armor All.
I'm feeling like I'm in Green Acres here.
Well, anyway, it's a good excuse to get satellite radio because it's only like $10.
Armor All?
Yeah.
You sprayed Armor All into your radio?
Just on the surface.
God, the whole world's going to find out about your mentality here.
Oh, I was going to ask you a question. You know, talking about the old days. Remember there was some fight, I don't know if it was a train station or the L.A. courthouse or someplace, where somebody, there was a Jewish Defense League, and somebody hit him with pepper spray, and Jewish Irv Rubin was running to the police going, they're gassing Jews.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah, that was, I'm trying to remember, wasn't that Eric Davidson? Was he around back then?
No, this is before him. This was in the early
80s. I know we left one or two guys out there to keep an eye on things.
Yeah.
And somehow they got tangled up with
Rubin, and
he maced him.
Yeah, well, it was outside the courthouse.
And the cops arrested our guy. And we had to go down. We got him out.
Yeah.
They didn't keep him.
Yeah.
But they took him out of there. And I think.
Well, Chris got arrested, but he didn't spray any. Well, are you thinking about a different time? Because Chris got busted.
Well, it was Chris and some other guy. I forget the.
Oh, really?
I forget the name.
Okay, I thought it was like a fight or something.
I forget. We were inside, so I don't know exactly what happened. All I know is it came out and our guy was gone, and the cops had taken him away, and then we went down to the police station looking for him and all that.
Yeah.
He got out, but they never pushed it.
Yeah.
So anyhow, Reuben, they were such cowards.
Oh yeah,
they're like little girls. You know, it's like our website. You know, they knocked our website off. They knocked your website off. They go whining to these servers. You know, I would never do that to get the JDL.
Yeah.
I would not do that to the JDL.
You know, what gets me about the other side is how they're always talking about how tolerant they are. They're the most intolerant people in the world. Like, if you even exist, they want to get rid of you. Like, with my site, I got all kinds of links to them. They would never have a link to me, and I would never in a million years of thinking about taking their website off, but lo and behold, they're always just whining at your server and bitching and stuff. You know, it's no wonder people want to gas them.
Well, they hang out around the websites, always watching the website for a new concert. Like, Skinheads, they're going to have a concert a couple of weeks ago. They're going to have one up here along the coast. And then they find out where it's going to be, and then they call the mayor, and they call the cops, they call the press, and it's like a bunch of little faggot women.
Well, you know, and then they wonder why people want to kill them. You know, they wonder why. Muslim moms teach their kids to strap bombs on them and run into their school children to kill them. That's a little backstabbing prick.
Yeah, I respect a true warrior,
even
though we disagree all the way.
Yeah,
but I can't stand a sissy.
Yeah.
And those guys are sissies, and that's what used to really upset me about the right wing.
Mm-hmm.
They were so afraid of
them.
You know, all they needed to do was bitch slap them a few times, and they'd have been okay.
Yeah.
But the JDL used to feel great because they were so scared of them.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like I said, once we started beating them up, none of the right wing would make a big deal of how we beat them up. They pretended like it didn't happen. Well, they're still talking about, oh, the JDL, the JDL's going to get us.
Yeah.
You know, what a Mordecai Levy.
Well, you know what gets
remember
me?
Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
What a pissant that guy was. You know, he's still running around New York scaring right-wingers.
Well, he once called up and started giving death threats to one of your daughters. She's about 5 or 6 years old, and basically she just shot him down. You know, if you can't stand up to a 5-year-old, you know.
Yeah, you know, she is a dad.
The creeps are on the phone.
Well, he used to call me all the time and want to threaten me.
Yeah.
And by the time I got done with him, he'd hang up on me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that one time. Well, you courted one of them where you were just going on and he was about crying and stuff.
An hour. His mother was in a nut house.
Yeah.
And stuff like, I've got those tapes here. So
yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, people can get them if they want them. It's hilarious. Yeah. You know, a guy calls you up to terrorize you on the phone, and you piss him off so bad he hangs up on you.
Well, you know what gets me? Sometimes our people are just so fucking terrified, it's ridiculous. Like,
they're cowards.
I mean, even, like, sometimes, like, you know, like, I put, like, people's emails on my website, and I cut their email address, and, you know, if they don't put the name in the bio, I don't put the name. But some people, even without their email address or their name, just their words, they think that somehow they say, oh, he put the in front of door, so that must be Tim Jones. Oh, yeah. Oh, got him now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're terrified of just bizarre shit.
No, the whole right wing is a bunch of cowards, and that's why I got out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if their name becomes public, oh, my God, and they're always thinking, my phone is tapped.
Oh, yeah.
My phone. Why? You're not doing a damn thing. Why would anybody tap your phone?
Yeah.
You know? So, and if you are doing something, why would you talk about it on the phone anyhow?
Oh, well, speaking of cowardly right-wingers, a new movie's coming out. The album's coming out Friday.
Oh, boy.
And if they don't turn it into a complete race-mixing piece of crap, it'll be a good contrast. Could you imagine our people at the Alamo? I mean, here's people that can't even publicly use their first, not even talk about the last, can't even use their first name because they're afraid that the Jews will find out. Could you imagine them actually standing in a suicidal position on the Alamo where you know you're going to die? You know?
Well,
as long as the Jews don't find out my name, I'll go ahead and die.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's funny. People talk about when we get in power. The fuck are we going to get in power when people can't even publicly say what they believe?
No, they're... Well, that's why they don't get any power.
Oh, yeah.
You can't be a coward to get power.
You know, the Bible...
And also, that's why the right wing really hated Bob Matthews.
Oh, yeah.
He made him look bad.
Well, the Bible says the meek will inherit the earth, but that's the biggest lie in the world. The meek will just inherit the grave.
They will inherit nothing.
The grave.
Yeah, they sure will. Well, anyhow, you know, I still have a lot of right wingers that will finally call me or get to me on email, and... They've been trying to find me.
Whoa.
And my phone has been the same phone for 30 years.
Yeah.
The same public phone. It was never a private phone.
And
it
you just got to put Tom Metzger War in Google and it takes about 2 seconds to find you.
Yeah, it was all my phone was always listed. Yeah. And then they said, well, aren't you afraid of that? I'm afraid. I haven't had any attacks on me in years.
Yeah.
And even then, we just fought them off and, you know, maced them or beat the shit out of them or whatever, and they didn't come back.
Yeah.
But I get some email threats, and there are always some nigger clear across the country, you know. And I say, well, come on down, and I give them my address.
Yeah.
Here's my address, come on down. Nobody ever comes down. And, you know, the left's just as cowardly as the right. Maybe they're not quite as cowardly.
Well, I was
going
to say they're not afraid to put their names behind their opinions.
I have run into some left wingers that weren't cowards in the streets. You know, they'd fight. You know, but can you imagine these eat, meet, and retreat right wingers fighting in the street?
Yeah.
Well, they always thought we were uncouth, uneducated, skinhead types because you're willing to fight, go out in the street, and be in a riot. We didn't start it, so we're attacked. The right wing says, well, that's not the way to do it. We got to educate the masses. Oh, bullshit.
Oh, we were talking about viewing things on TV and stuff. I saw South Park, The Passion of the Jew. I don't know if you've ever seen that cartoon. It's pretty funny.
You know, I was going to watch that, but I missed it.
It was hilarious. It was about this Jew that went and saw the Passion of the Crap, and he got all kinds of guilt and stuff. He went to his synagogue, and he wanted his fellow Jews to denounce what they did to Jesus and stuff, he and I went in front of the podium of the rabbi, and he started saying how we should denounce what we did to Jesus. And these Jews started going on about anti-Semitism, and then finally this one Jew got up and says, what gets me about all this anti-Semitic stuff is they say that there's a Jew look, but there's no such thing as a Jew look. Then the camera goes down the bench at every single Jew, and all of them had like these big hooked noses, and they all looked like a Wyatt Man Jews. One after one after one after the guy was saying there's no such thing as a Jewish
look. Did you tape that?
No, it'll probably be on again, because they
had to tape that one.
Well, I mean, they had Mel Gibson as this crazy guy, the crazy Jesus freak that was completely insane, running around.
I put that on a website.
Yep.
They threatened to sue me in about 2 minutes, but
yeah.
Still, then I'd take it off. But
yeah.
I think I'll put that on a website.
Yeah,
yeah, that'd be a funny one, man.
Yeah.
Hey, the Air Force has got a big problem. They're allowing a cadet to stay after he has his sex change. Air Force cadet has his sex change.
From a man into a woman?
And then the same guy, I guess, he's accused of two more racial attacks afterwards. So I guess he says here about something about him sodomizing a woman in a wheelchair, and then he gets a sex change, and they still leave him stay in the Air Force.
Say that again.
You know, it says right here, it says, an Air Force Academy cadet who was accused of rape and threatened to crash a glider into a dining hall was allowed to remain at the school for several more months, during which he was arrested for sodomizing a woman in a wheelchair and accused of raping another cadet, according to the files obtained by the Associated Press.
And he had a sex...
Well, I think it's the same guy, or maybe it's another guy here. But anyhow, this whole article is about the Air Force of transsexuals.
Yeah.
And people raping women in wheelchairs. God almighty.
Yeah.
You know, and then you wonder why the military is down the tube.
Yeah.
You know, do you think any government could make any more mistakes than this one is in Iraq? It's doing everything wrong.
Oh, yeah, or everything right from our perspective.
From our point of view, worse is better.
Yeah.
And boy, it's getting to be great. They shut down that newspaper,
uh-huh.
And now they attacked a mosque?
Well, yeah, I heard 40 Muslims were killed today, and they bombed a mosque or something.
Oh, man, if they try to go in and get that guy out
yeah.
of that mosque,
yeah.
that is the most... main mosque in the world.
Oh, is it?
In the whole world for those people.
Yeah.
Not just Iraq. And if they invade that place, that shit is really going to hit the fan.
Well, would they bomb it, or they just shoot at it, or have they killed 40 people?
Well, I don't know whether this probably not the same mosque.
Oh, no, it's
wherever
a different
this
mosque,
guy
yeah.
that they're trying yeah. to serve a warrant on,
oh, yeah,
you know. That's like giving speeding tickets at the Indy 500,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Anyhow, he's holed up in the most holy mosque in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go in and invade that damn place or bomb it, those Shiites down south are going to go nuts.
The Shiites going to hit the fan.
The Shiites will hit the fan. And this is exactly the way the British
yeah.
screwed up back in 1918.
Yeah.
You know, they were afraid the Turks and the Germans were going to get Iraq, and they took it over, and they did the same thing. We're going to bring democracy to our Iraq and
oh,
all
yeah,
that kind
yeah.
of stuff. And it's almost verbatim, like Bush's speeches,
yeah.
and then it started all going to hell, and then it developed into civil war, and the Shiites down south all rose up, and then the English people got pissed off, and they sacked their prime minister
yeah.
Because they were pouring hundreds of thousands of troops into this damn godforsaken place.
Well, you know that their logic doesn't make any sense. Here's a country where the majority of the people want a Muslim theocracy, and they're going to have a democracy there, and then the majority of the people are going to vote for a Muslim theocracy, and then immediately democracy is going to vote in the Muslim theocracy, so what's the point of fighting if they're going to vote what they got in already, you know?
Well, even the liberals on the radio last night were saying, look, the women had far more freedom under Saddam Hussein.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he was not a religious nut.
Yeah, yeah.
He was an atheist.
Well, so they hate Gaddafi because of that. Remember we were talking to those Muslims down
yeah.
the San Diego mosque, and they hated Gaddafi because they thought he was an atheist
yeah.
and an infidel.
So, man, I mean, you know, this... I said Bush is not going to win. And unless Kerry does...
I hope he doesn't.
Unless Kerry does something really, really bad,
yeah.
I think Bush is going to lose.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Oh, did you see that little kid?
That doesn't mean I'm endorsing Kerry either.
Yeah.
They're all fruitcakes.
Yeah, our guy Al Sharpton.
Yeah,
he just went down the
hole.
He's
a long shot. He's a dark horse,
well, he's got a half a percent of the vote.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
something might happen.
He can muster something up.
Yeah. If we get more skinheads out working the polar,
yeah.
Precincts, he still might have a chance.
Yeah, so skinheads should be in blackface when they go out there and work for Al Sharpton.
And carry a banjo.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, Dr. Colin Berg, the people out there want maybe two shows a week. We're going to have to really get, I don't know. You think we can handle two shows a week?
Probably.
Well, we can try it, but I'm telling you, it's about time to close out here, and we didn't get through half our stuff here we wanted to talk about.
Oh, I just, one last thing. Did you see that little kid that in behind Bush's speech, the kid that was yawning and
farting around switching. Oh, yeah, yeah, the little kid.
I really love that because that's basically what everybody listening to the speech was thinking of doing. And he was the only one that had the balls to do it, you know.
He became an instant hit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was on Jay Leno.
Okay, that's about
all
it.
Right.
Send your cards and letters and say goodbye there, Doctor.
Goodbye.
Until we meet again.
Happy
Get out of here with that Roy Rutger stuff. Well, let's close out here with a little bit of old Bill Monroe, our Texas boy. Here we go.
It's my love.